This time of year, Handel's Messiah is performed around the world hundreds and hundreds of times. Big, rousing performances, a chorus, an orchestra, it's spirited, it's dramatic. Messiah has everything. But the music may be better known than the history of the work. So we are asking Morning Edition music commentator Miles Hoffman lots of questions we've always wanted answered about Messiah, and we are not afraid to ask. You ready for this? Good morning.
I guess. Good morning.
First of all, is this right to call it Messiah, not the Messiah, and to call him Handel, not Handel?
Right. Messiah is the name of the piece. Now, if you call it the Messiah, the Messiah police will not show up and arrest you. But in fact, the actual title of the piece is Messiah, with no article. Look. And Handel is fine. His original name was Georg Friedrich Händel. Mm-hmm. That's with an umlaut, those two dots
over the A.
That's right.
Okay.
But he moved to England when he was 27, Susan. Changed his name there. He eventually wound up with George Friedrich Handel. And Handel is, in fact, the inventor of the English oratorio. He wrote these pieces in English.
Everybody shall be exalted. What is an oratorio?
Oratorio is a large-scale work for vocal soloists, chorus, and orchestra. It started, actually, it has the unusual distinction, Susan, this form of being named after a building. The form oratorio is named...
a place to listen, right?
Well, it's not so simple. It was in Rome in the 1500s, there was a fellow named Filippo di Neri, and he started these shows. He wanted to attract people to his prayer meeting, so he started getting more and more elaborate with musical representations, and he built a building called the Oratorio, because oratio, or oratio in Latin, means prayer. Anyway, these shows became very successful. His oratoriani, his followers, spread out all over Italy. This form grew and grew, and eventually just became called the oratorio. But it's always been distinguished from opera because the chorus, as always in oratorios, had a more important role, and in Handel, this is certainly the case.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and dreams of peace unto us, a child is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a son is given.
Was Messiah, this oratorio, written for Christmas?
No, it's not a Christmas piece at all. If anything, it's meant more for Easter than for Christmas. It is a collection of biblical texts. The first part speaks about the coming of the Messiah, but the second part of the oratorio has to do with the death and the resurrection, and the third part is more of a meditative section on the whole meaning of all of this. So it was not originally meant as a Christmas piece, and it is not by any means specifically a Christmas piece.
But thou didst not keep his warning hand. But thou didst not keep his warning hand. Nor didst thou suffer, nor didst thou suffer thy Holy One to see.
Miles Hoffman, Messiah takes about 3 hours to perform.
Right, depending on the tempos that the conductor takes and whether there are cuts and whether you do everything.
Yeah. And it took Handel maybe 3 weeks to write. So was this an efficient use of time?
Well, it was a pretty good 3 weeks in the history of mankind when you come right down to it. I like to think that George Washington was 9 years old when Handel wrote this, just to put it in perspective. You know, he was wandering around in Virginia and Handel was writing Messiah. My completely unscientific estimate of how many notes there are in the score of Messiah is about 250,000. So let's figure 3 weeks, 10 hours a day, that makes somewhere between 15 and 20 notes a minute. That would be pretty good just to copy them out. But meanwhile, he was actually writing the music. You know, he had to think of things.
It's a lot of music.
Yeah,
but
he wrote it at an incredible pace. The amazing thing is that he could write so fast and write so well. I mean, that you get a product like Messiah that lives forever. I mean, this piece was, at its first performance, people were astonished and thought, this is great. You know, the critics wrote the next day that this was a wonderful masterpiece.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The part that's best known is the Hallelujah chorus. And when they come to it in performance, the audience stands up. How come?
Usually. Well, for the answer to that question, Susan, we have to go to Fiddler on the Roof and to Tevye, the milkman, who asks the question, how did all this tradition get started? I'll tell you. I don't know. There are many theories. The main theory is that King George II stood up at that point during the first or second performance of the piece. There are those scholars, by the way, who say that George II wasn't even at the performance, but that's a different story. Anyway, nobody knows why he stood up. He might have had to leave the room in an emergency. We don't know, but when the king stands, everybody else stands. So there are those who say that's what happened. There are those who say that everybody just stood up spontaneously because it was so wonderful. And my feeling is, if you want to stand, great. If you don't want to stand, that's great too. Whether you're sitting or standing, it's wonderful music.
Miles Hoffman, you and I should stand now and listen to a bit of that chorus. But first I have to tell folks that you are the violist and artistic director of the American Chamber Players and author of the NPR Classical Music Companion. Thanks a million for helping us listen to Handel's Messiah.
Thank you, Susan.
King of kings,
this is Morning Edition from NPR News. Alex Chadwick will be in Mr. Edwards' chair tomorrow. I'm Susan Stamberg.